You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. It's another off day, so we have to figure out what we're actually going to talk about regarding the Lakers for now what feels like the third or fourth day in a row. But we'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll find something.
Anthony, the Lakers played tonight.
They did. What? They what?
Yeah, the Lakers played tonight. They played against the Magic.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I see. This is what happens when you drink as much as you do. I think that your brain, when it's prioritizing what memories it's going to burn out, it's just the ones that were complete garbage and a waste of your life, it just tosses those first, which, you know, is actually smart. So you have clearly purged this game from your memory, and that's fine.
What's your name again?
Okay, ouch. Words hurt. I'm taking, you know what? I'm taking those Disneyland passes back.
All right. We're going to play a game here. I want to have some fun with this. I want to see how did the game go? We'll just start with that first question. Was it an okay watch?
But no, it was not. It was
no!
Quite possibly the Lakers' worst loss of the year.
Oh, all right. So we're going to find out how depressing that game could have been. We'll do that for the first segment or so. We'll see how far we can stretch it. And then on the backside of it, there are some trade rumors that Harrison and I can talk about. And I think there are ways to have this conversation that we have not had it quite yet. We have a few more specifics again via Ramona Shelburne. And then Woj again reiterated that the Lakers are talking to the Cleveland Cavaliers about a Jordan Clarkson trade. So we have plenty, actually, to really talk about. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, and the Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. All right, let's start this game. No injuries, right? The Lakers didn't have any additional injuries?
That, I mean, other than my eyes, no. So far, no. Injuries.
Okay, so
that we know about. I mean, that's about the only way that this game could get worse.
Yeah,
is if we found out like after the game, it's like, oh yeah, actually, you know, like Jordan Clarkson actually died midway through the third quarter and continued. the Lakers were playing so bad that nobody noticed.
Did it was a blowout, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was 127-105. It was pretty bad.
So it almost makes it worse, right? That there were no additional injuries and the Lakers were still blown out.
It makes it look worse. It doesn't make it worse for the team long term. Obviously, they're better off not being injured. But again, this is the worst team. This is the team with mathematically the worst record in the NBA. I believe they've lost like they've only won like three of their last 23 games. Mm-hmm. And like they lit the Lakers up from three. The Lakers, you almost have to try to defend threes as bad as the Lakers did tonight. The Magic are not a good 3-point shooting team. They're 35.3%. That's 23rd. That's 22nd in the league. And tonight, you want to guess what they shot, Anthony?
900%.
Yeah, close. 56.3%.
Good Lord.
Yeah. They shot better from three than they shot from the field overall. That is very rare, especially when you shot, like, well from the field.
Weren't the Magic were also coming off of a back-to-back, right?
No, well, yes, the Magic were coming off of a back-to-back. The Lakers were not. The Lakers just kind of got the chill yesterday in Orlando. They got in early. Orlando was in Houston getting, you know, just ripped apart by James Harden in a 60-point triple-double. And then they had to fly back and do the rare, like, away and home back-to-back. And somehow the Lakers were the team that looked like they had played a game the night before. So that Orlando nightlife, though.
Obviously. Anytime you can get trashed at Disney World, you have to take that opportunity.
Well, that's the worst part, is Brook Lopez. I was expecting a major like motivation revenge game from him because he did not get to go to Disney World. That's how slow the news around the Lakers has been, is that there was actually a story about Brook Lopez not getting to go to Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there might not be other things to dig into, but whatever.
There's literally nothing going on around this team, man. They aren't even playing in their basketball games on the night they have basketball games now.
All right, so
only fittingly, even the beat reporters are taking it a little easy tonight because so far the only quote that we and that you know, hey, like this is not a shot against them. Far, you know, I would not want to live tweet press conferences after this game either. And so far, the only thing that we know that happened was Luke Walton said, we weren't committed to guarding anyone today. That's all we got from the beat. And honestly, kind of fitting. Like,
Greg Monroe was just bought out by the Phoenix Suns.
Live on this podcast that you guys will listen to tomorrow morning.
That was
Can the Lakers sign a big-name free agent? I think that's the big question here now.
Remember when he was the indicator that the Lakers could not, or that the Lakers brand was beyond repair?
Yep, it was when Greg Monroe, noted superstar, signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. Brands don't matter anymore when you can get Greg Monroe to come to your small market team.
He didn't last through his contract with the team that signed him to that deal, right?
Nope, he got traded.
And then he was then bought out by the team that acquired him mid-season.
Yeah. Anyway. So, you know, like, yeah. Fittingly... Even we are kind of not on our top of our game tonight.
No, I find it funny though. I find that funny that was still at one point an indicator of actual health regarding the Lakers, and it just goes to show how different the coverage has been about Magic and Pelinka compared to Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak, because those were Laker beat writers who had concerns about that stuff.
It was more of a national media thing than a local thing.
I'd have to go back and see it, but I do remember that was...
Check the receipts, I'm right, there was as some, usual.
That might be true. we're actually kidding. We wanted to see, did any Lakers start crying on the court tonight?
No, another small positive. Actually, one of the only positive stats to come out of this game, Tyler Ennis had a season high in rebounds in the first quarter. So, good job. A rare positive Tyler Ennis stat.
Yes. What was his plus minus?
He was a minus -8, which actually might be a team. Nope, it was not a team high. Thomas Bryant, hero of Lakers Nation, plus +6. The only guy that was a positive. Next closest is a minus -6 from Josh Hart, who also did not play very much.
Superstar confirmed is what we're saying.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant had 1 point in 7 minutes. So, you know, unstoppable. Force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
Two rebounds, too. I mean, love to see what those for 36 averages are.
Absolutely. All right. In all seriousness, though, like Harrison and I both watched the game. It was so boring and it was such a blowout that we didn't really want to talk about it very seriously. I think these kinds of blowouts happen over the course of a season, especially with a young team. They might have taken their opponent lightly. It could be one of those situations where it's just, well, they're the Magic. They're coming off of a back-to-back. It's not a nationally televised game. Who really cares about it? Oh, my God, we're getting smoked by the worst team in the NBA, right?
I saw a couple people joking about this on Twitter tonight, and maybe it's possible. They were already looking forward to clubbing with D'Lo tomorrow night.
100% possible. All right, so we are going to talk about the trade stuff next because there really isn't much to talk about. You got to the one bright spot was that we got to watch Thomas Bryant, and he was fun to watch out there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tyler Ennis' season high in rebounds.
No. A season high in rebounds means that Tyler Ennis was on the court, and it's never positive.
It's true, and then he didn't get another rebound the rest of the game.
We're going to take a quick
break. Honestly perfect.
We're going to step away for a second, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about Jordan Clarkson potentially to the Cavs, Ramona Shelburne's report regarding the type of moves that the Lakers would like to try to make, but they have not been able to. We're going to get to that here in a second.
We'll get back to the show here in a second, but before we do, Super Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the big game, go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have plenty of fun prop bets as well as in-game live betting so as to keep the game as interesting as possible throughout. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie.ag.
Do we have to keep podcasting?
I guess. We'll keep on going. At least we can edit that part out, though, where you say, do we have to keep podcasting?
Yeah, I'll make sure that I do that.
100%. Or you don't have to. We can just get... Let's just get going. All right, ready? So, according to Ramona Shelburne, she reported on the Low Post with Zach Lowe that the Lakers are fielding offers for both Jordan Clarkson and Julius Randle. And they're doing so after having said that they would like to keep both of those guys after or throughout the season to see either how they can impact or how they can help with wins. Both guys have actually helped with wins, especially Clarkson on a few for the last few games before this last win against Orlando. But here's how she puts it on the Zach Lowe, or on the Low Post with Zach Lowe. It's interesting. Okay, Zach, this is where you get to see if they are modern GMs, because they did one of those trades where, you know, in every deal you have a checkbox, you have three ideas you want to check off the list, right? We want to keep our flexibility, we want to not add cap space, and we want young players, maybe get a draft pick, etc. Well, they were able to do that with the Mozgov trade, right? They were able to do everything they wanted. That's not a quote. She did not fart into the mic.
She didn't make the fart noise. That was not part of the transcription. That was Anthony's improv.
Yeah, this is her analysis of the trade is hilariously well spun. They were able to do everything they wanted in that trade. They did in that one. I think they would love to do the same thing in all their conversations they're having, but this may be a two or three step process for them to shed the kind of salary that they need to shed while also getting assets. From what I understand, they've had offers for Randle and Clarkson. They've had offers where they could potentially get a first round pick back, but then you don't save any money on salary. Or you're cash flat, you get a pick, but you're cash flat. I'm guessing that means that you don't
basically
save
that they
money,
get the same amount of long term money back.
Right. Or maybe you save $2 million instead of, you know, the whole thing, which means you do one trade now and probably package whatever you got then, or use a draft pick yourself, and then you made another trade at the draft. That's a little bit more complicated, right? Because you have to pull it all off twice, but I think that's more where they are right now. Not that she isn't doing good reporting. I'm not saying that. But it's not great news. Right. That they aren't. It sounds like, because Ramona is very well plugged in with the Lakers, this sounds like the kind of information that would be coming from the Lakers. So it sounds like the Lakers are basically telling reporters that we aren't happy with the offers that we've gotten thus far.
We're getting many first round picks, Anthony. We're getting many first round picks offered to us, just the best first round picks. But We're deciding which of the best first round picks is the best of the best first round picks.
High class
problem to have. Championship organization synergy.
We're taking the best assets. We have the best assets. All that good stuff. But yeah, this isn't great news if you're a Laker fan. And it gets back to the point that we were making on last show, right? Regarding the trade deadline, is that this is where you ask them, hey, please just shut up, right? Please stop going out
so
there and advertising.
We're making progress. We don't know that this was told to her today. So who knows? They could have stopped. We're still batting 100% right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, hey, it's a leak. So at least they aren't saying it like on record. I don't know. Like,
well, they also promised that they wouldn't be a leaky organization, but
we don't. Again, we don't know that they leaked it too.
That's true, but
what do we know? We don't know anything, to be honest.
I guess this is very. I'm not going to make the joke I was going to make, but as I was reading that to you, as you're finding out that the Lakers aren't able to both shed Jordan Clarkson's salary and get an asset in return, was that surprising to you? Was that basically the status quo? How would you feel?
That does not surprise. I'm actually, to be frank, I'm surprised that they can get a first for him, even if it's with equivalent salary or only slightly cheaper salary coming back in return. Because while he's good, you know, like, first round picks aren't nothing. The Lakers have shown, I wrote this in my write up of it that I don't think is up yet, but first round picks, like as the Lakers have shown with Kuzma and Hart, are late first round picks. That's something this team can do some damage with. And so, like, that's a nice asset for them to get back. I think it's just for them a matter of deciding, are we willing to just basically not really solve our problem, but at least get an asset back? And if it's me, I think that's worth doing. But at the same time, I guess like it also kind of depends on the salary that you're getting back, because it could be just a useless player. Like if it's Amon Shumpert or something, or a guy that just doesn't help the Lakers as much as he, as much as Clarkson would. And so then all of a sudden you're risking kind of hurting the perception of your team.
How about Randall?
Are
you surprised that it sounds like if they do move Randall. It depends on the
first. I'm not really surprised that the Lakers would be able to get a first for Randall if it was like late first. I'm not surprised by that at all. Like even kind of mid-ish first, I'm not really surprised. But, you know, if it's coming back with long-term money, I don't know if that's like a good idea to just be like, hey, we're going to punt on this guy being our backup free agency plan in exchange for this late first.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I would say, based off of this, it doesn't sound like either guy is getting moved anytime soon, right? I mean, it would have to – the offer –
well, the trade deadline's next week. So, I think, to be honest, I think that given that these offers are on the table, I think one of these guys, at least one, probably will be moved. If the Lakers are being offered first-rounders and, like, long-term – like, if the Lakers can get a first-rounder and, like, a long-term salary for Clarkson, I think they do it, and then they just move that other guy this summer.
It depends on the salary. I would hope that they at least take on a contract that has one less year than Clarkson's.
Maybe that's easier to move without attaching an asset this summer if you're still trying to clear cap space.
Well, at the very least, you can stretch it at that point, right? Because then, let's say you're taking even money on Clarkson for 1 year fewer, then that means you're just stretching that $10-ish million contract. It becomes $3 million for the next 3 years. Right, three and change for the next 3 years. And then you combine that with the salary that you save by stretching Luol Deng this offseason. I think you save roughly $7 million by doing that per this upcoming season and the next season, though you are paying it for a longer amount of time. And there's $10 million of cap space that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the hope that maybe you can take on right there. But again, I can't make this point enough, is that I don't think it's helped the value of Jordan Clarkson or it's helped the value of Julius Randle that every team in the NBA knows that they are available, right? Just like Paul George's value went in the dump as soon as everybody found out that he was either A, available, or B, available only to the Lakers after the season that he spent wherever he was traded to, right? Part of the reason why I think Blake Griffin got back a, in my opinion, pretty fair return was because nobody knew he was really available. It was a, oh my God, Blake Griffin has just been traded moment as soon as that trade news hit the wire. And
yeah, it's like the great philosopher Lil Wayne once said, real G's move in silence like lasagna.
And speaking of lasagna, sometimes Pelinka doesn't even eat it.
Yeah, it's true. When the Lakers lose very badly. And I think like
so
that.
Pelinka isn't eating his lasagna right now.
Yes.
Man. Save me some lasagna. I'm hungry now.
But what was funny was that was like the second time I've seen that story come up from him. Because I remember, you know, my former boss, Drew Garrison, aggregated that for Silver Screen Roll like last week from his interview with Spectrum. He said like, the headline was like, Rob Pelinka's so sad he's not even eating his dinner. And, you know, like that is, and like, I think that this almost, these trade rumors and the losses like tonight, they do kind of, they affect the mood on the team. And I think that you had kind of an interesting theory on that that we should talk about in a second.
So my theory, and it's impossible. There's no way that I could really, I'd have to really go back through and comb through the games in which this theory might apply. But there was the report, and then Andrew Bogut confirmed it, that the younger Lakers at times don't do very well when their name starts popping up in trade rumors, right?
And guess whose names have been in trade rumors over the last several weeks, well, and will continue to be in rumors over the next week,
right,
until the trade deadline.
And so tonight, well, you wrote on the Ramona report for Lakers Nation, so that's obviously going to make a much larger splash. But Lakers Outsiders, we had one of our bigger traffic days here in a while, and it was off of that trade rumor, and I it kind of makes me wonder if on days where rumors specifically about guys pop up, that they don't respond very well. Because look, heading into this game, aside from the potential not taking the Magic very seriously angle, there was no reason or excuse that the Lakers should have played as morosely as they did, right?
Yeah, they just didn't even look like they were trying, really. Like, it was like, you know, I hate to accuse guys of that. That's just not normally who I am. But they just, you know, when you watch the game, it just did not look like they were giving effort on defense. They were not guarding the rim, and they were not guarding the three. And you're going to lose like 9.9 out of NBA games, out of 10 NBA games, if you do that, if you're not like the Warriors, basically.
And Luke said it after the game, right? That he said, I think the quote was something along the lines of,
yeah, we didn't
look interested in guarding anybody tonight.
And it's like the mood around the team, you know, just anecdotally based on that. And then there was also Brook Lopez didn't even talk to reporters tonight. Apparently he looked like he was having a tough time on the bench. And, you know, between the losing and the trade rumors, it's going to be another test for Luke Walton, because earlier this year, this team was playing lifelessly. They looked awful. LeVar started questioning whether or not Luke had lost the locker room. And then all of a sudden, the team starts rolling again. And to me, that was somewhat of a testament to Luke Walton being able to get that team kind of going again. I think that's part of what a coach does. And so, I mean, again, I don't know for a fact that it was him, but usually that's something that we kind of credit to coaching. If you can keep the locker room together and keep them winning. And they were able to bounce back from that. And it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back from this and if that's before the trade deadline. At this point, I am not convinced that we are going to see a very good team before the trade deadline and the rest of whoever is still here feels secure.
Well, and not even because the trade deadline might come and go, right? But you're still going to have buyout season, and you're still going to have, even after the trade deadline, guys are going to be looking towards the offseason because you have so many guys with big decisions coming this coming summer.
It's true, but they'll be less like up against that wall where it's so immediate.
Yeah, but you know, trade rumors, trade deadline season is going to come and go, but then you're going to have off-season trade rumors, and you're going to have off-season free agency rumors, and these type of headlines aren't going anywhere, partially because of, frankly, those kind of rumors traffic really well, so anybody's going to write anything anytime you can sneak NBA trade rumor into your headline, you're going to write that article because it's going to traffic well. But then also because they are not going to stop about this team, because that is the culture that this team and this, you know, you can't even blame just Pelinka and Magic for this. This has been the culture. This has been Lakers culture for the last 4 or 5 years. This is where we are right now with this organization. Until it changes. Like, I remember we were having a conversation right before the Magic game started on Twitter with, I think it was Rykol, Pete from Laker Film Room. I think Ben Rosales was involved in it as well. And they were saying, well, all right, maybe you can send Jordan Clarkson to Cleveland for Cleveland's first and Iman Shumpert, who doesn't come off of the books this year, but he does come off the books next year, where there might be more free agents available. And it just makes me, I want to scream.
At some point, I said this earlier this week on one of our podcasts, but at some point you have to establish the bedrock. You have to set the foundation and say, okay, these are the guys that we're going to grow with, and not keep saying, oh, wait, but next summer we're going to get these guys. And like, you have to stop kicking the can down the road. And, you know, this will also, like, I think, you know, we'll see if that if this team does that this summer. That's going to be one of the biggest things of this summer to me, is this the year that they lock it down and they say this is our plan going forward? Or do they just kick the can down the road again and say, hey, new plan, same as the old plan, but with Magic and Pelinka instead of Mitch and Jim? And so, like, early on, it sounded like that was what they're going to do. Now they're saying, like, you know, we could like use that to take on, like, you know, guys in salary dumps and stuff like that. I don't know what they're going to do, but this is clearly a pivotal summer for the Lakers. And I think one more thing that I wanted to get to before we wrap up here was a friend of the show, Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. This isn't a report, but he quote tweeted Tanya Ganguly's thing about the Lakers, about the Lopez situation, him not talking to reporters. And he said, this feels like a situation headed for a buyout. If not before, then certainly after next week's trade deadline. Lopez could help a contender as a floor spacing big and scorer. So that's not him reporting that it's heading for a buyout. He's just saying that it looks like a situation that could be. That wasn't something that I had totally considered, but would you be for buying out Lopez, or is that just more of the roster turn type stuff that you're fed up with? To me, I think that's different because it's unlikely they're going to retain him this summer. And I'd actually be for that, just because you automatically, all of a sudden, you have minutes for traditional big men available, and the Lakers can see what they have in Zoo and Thomas Bryant.
It all depends on the type of teammate that Lopez is. If he starts sulking, if he starts moping, if it starts to become a problem, like Joakim Noah right now is an actual problem in New York, and they're telling him to stay away.
That's like low-key. I'm not saying Lakers fans should like come around and thank Luol Deng or something, but like low-key, they should be grateful that he has taken this demotion relatively well. Like, he hasn't made a secret that he wants to play, but he has been mentoring the young guys before and after, like, games, before and after practices. He will stay and shoot with the guys, and like has just had as good of an attitude about it as you could possibly ask for. And again, like, you know, he's getting paid a lot of money, and so it's really easy to say, well, yeah, you do the job that the team gives you. But it's as we've seen time and time again, like with Joakim Noah right now, it's not always that simple. And so he should get some credit for that. I don't get the sense that Lopez would be the type of guy that would sulk. I think he, in general, has been a really good influence on the young guys. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, even if he's not sulking, it's just, you know, you let him go be free, and then you let these young guys run. Because I think at this point in the season, like, we know that they're not going to be a playoff team. Losing Lopez would hurt them, but there's a chance that they'd be able to survive it, because in general they've been better with Randall at center anyway. So they'd be hurt in the minutes Lopez wasn't on the floor, you know, probably, depending on what Zoo and Thomas Bryant can show. But we'll see. I think if I was running the team, that's probably the move I would make, even though you might take a little bit of a perception hit in terms of end-of-year record.
Well, I think there are arguments to both sides of it, right? And I think you made a good argument for why you should do it. And if he does approach the team and he says, guys, I'd like to join a playoff contender. I think playing for the Los Angeles Lakers isn't helping my free agency maybe the way that it might normally. In normal seasons where the Lakers are kind of contending a little bit more. So playing on a playoff team and potentially helping a playoff team might boost my price this free agency. So it's just better for everybody involved. And I won't create a problem. I agree with you that I don't think Lopez is that kind of guy.
No, I don't think so at all.
But the other thing too is the perception of working with a veteran and one who is probably nearing one of his last two NBA contracts, that type of thing does go over very well around the league. If that's something that he prefers and he mentions it to the front office. So I think
if he had the same agent as LeBron, you know he'd be getting it.
He'd either get an extension or it just depends on what he asked for.
But lifelong ownership of a portion of Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. A cut of the profits for Star Wars movies.
Yes. But a cameo in Star Wars movies.
He could be Chewbacca.
Yeah.
So I think
Instagram is literally Brookie the Wookiee. This is perfect.
And then the other thing too is that you're talking about perception, and we've talked about it with regards to how it looks to other veterans and how you work with them, especially as a new front office. I'm sure there are players out there who are interested to see how this front office is going to handle that. And then if he does stick around and he does win the Lakers a few more games just because he's better than Zubats and he's better than Thomas Bryant, those games are going to be kind of cheap wins, right? Because a free agent to be that you're hoping to convince to be a Laker next season, they're going to say, okay, yeah, you won a few games down the stretch, and you did so because Brook Lopez was there. He's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, it's different with Lopez than it is with like a guy like, you know, like if you're getting rid of Clarkson and you have nothing behind him, like the Lakers at least have young guys that could theoretically show some promise as well down the stretch of the season. So there's an added benefit to moving on from him that there isn't when you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot with moving a guy like Clarkson.
Yeah, so it's something to watch, definitely. I don't think that anybody who sends us a question or whatever, and you're more than welcome to in the iTunes reviews with a five-star review. Yeah,
we may do an iTunes review mailbag tomorrow because I don't imagine there's going to be a lot to talk about.
You just jinxed us. Everybody's getting traded.
Something's going to break right after we stop recording.
Exactly.
Enjoy the bonus episode that we're going to release in a few hours.
But if you're going to ask if Brook Lopez could fetch any kind of draft pick, no. If we're already hearing about buyout, then that means nobody's willing to give anything.
Maybe a second rounder.
I doubt it. If we're already hearing about potential buyouts.
Well, again, it's not a report. He's just reading the situation based on his experience around the league.
Yeah, I know. But again, that experience tells you something.
Yeah.
You know.
Fair.
So we'll see how that turns out. Definitely something to keep an eye on. We tried to make this show as much fun as we possibly could with me being actually physically ill because of this game.
We were legitimately worried that Anthony would vomit on the air.
And Harrison doesn't have a very strong stomach, so you guys could have had just Harrison and me vomiting at
Hopefully each other. That visual didn't just trigger you in your car. If it is, Anthony will come clean your car. I apologize. Locked on Lakers guarantee.
We might be recording from Disneyland tomorrow. We'll see. I doubt it, but we'll see.
That'd make for an interesting show. We could record on rides.
On Space Mountain.
As I have panic attacks from rides.
Then you really will hear Harrison vomit.
No, more like just have a heart attack, probably.
So then it would be, the audio wouldn't be very good because you wouldn't be able to talk.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I've recorded during anxiety attacks before. I can do it again.
All right, everybody, let's go before Harrison has an actual one. Have a good one, everybody.